always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to Friday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. A gloomy, rainy, gross Friday out there.
Gloomy.
You know what? Get it out of the way now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Get her done.
Mr. Weather or Mother Nature or whoever I'm talking to. Steve Templeton, I'm looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out of the way now. Let's have a nice weekend. I'll make that compromise. You can have today.
Make it a nice weekend today. Yeah.
We'll find out if they take that deal.
Deal or no deal.
Or not. Later on this afternoon, in just about 40 minutes from now, we will talk to Steve Templeton, Channel 4 Chief Meteorologist, as we do every Friday afternoon, get the all-important weekend forecast. So very much looking forward to that. Also later this afternoon, just after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to James Knowles. He's the former mayor of Ferguson, the current city administrator for Daugherty and Prairie. Want to talk to him about some local issues. We've been having a lot of conversations this week about the upcoming elections and the legislative session wrapping up here in Missouri in just a couple weeks, and how that's going to impact, all these issues are going to be impacting voters this year. And James Knowles has been somebody who's been involved in local politics and from a leadership position for a very long time. So I want to get his thoughts on these various things happening. Also, there is a cool event happening tomorrow night that I'm going to be at.
I think I'll be there too.
I didn't make the announcement for you.
Yeah.
Katie might be there, and I will be there, and we'll explain to you all of that when we're talking to James Knowles in a little bit. Our buddy Ken Williams from the Vic Porcelli Show will be here in a moment as well, and starting things off with us as he does every Friday afternoon is our buddy Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning. Gabriel, how are you?
You know what time it is. I'm doing well.
Yes,
looking forward to the weekend. My goodness, this week has lasted like 3.5 months.
Oh, yes.
Man.
So much.
We are just, it's just hot and freaking heavy right now. I do want to get into, especially when I like to take advantage of Fridays when we have Gabe here and we have Ken here and we can kind of have a group conversation about these important issues. But I want to start with just a little bit of ridiculousness. The latest the latest gaffe from President Joe Biden. I don't know if you've seen this one. We've gone Ron Burgundy again.
I haven't.
We've gone Ron Burgundy again. We're reading the teleprompter.
The teleprompter?
Yes.
Okay. We're reading the teleprompter. So I'm going to play this for you, but I want you to visualize this. Let me explain it to you so you can visualize it as you're listening. And I highly recommend it's everywhere. You can very easily find this video so you can see it for yourself, because the visual is just as important as the audio. He's speaking, and then he obviously gets confused.
Yes.
His face gets confused. Mm-hmm. He's looking. He's clearly like squinting at the teleprompter, trying to figure out, I guess, how to read.
That's what the words are.
Oh, no.
Because he pauses. So he's at the end of his point that he's making. And what he's supposed to say is, it's supposed to be make the point and then say, 4 more years, and then wait for the crowd to respond to 4 more years. He gets done with his point, but however, as you'll listen, he gets done with his point, saying is, and then he's look like confusedly looking at the teleprompter, and what is supposed to be a 4 more years is, and then a pause for the applause is a 4 more years pause.
Oh, no.
It's so bad.
And then, and that's only the first half. There's actually two gaffes in 30 seconds here, but here's that first one.
For democracy. We can do this. I give you my word as a Biden, I've never been more optimistic about our future in my entire career. Just have to remember who we are. And I mean this. Think about it. We are the United States of America.
No.
And there's nothing.
That was my fault. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Capacity.
I put
nothing,
this in the,
nothing, nothing.
Hold on a second. I put this in the wrong spot. I am sorry.
Well, that still was a mess, though.
I'm as dumb as the president. I didn't even hear that part.
That
I give
was
my
a
word
hot
as a
mess.
I give my word as a Bogdan? What is that?
Don't know.
Here we go. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Take two. I'm making fun of somebody's mental capacity and obviously running low myself.
Bad luck, Tony.
Yes, running low myself. I was like, what is this? That's clearly the wrong spot. Here we go.
Increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. And then it takes about the third 4 more years from the crowd is when he figures it out. After he does the
he's still looking
at the teleprompter like with the confused look on his face like, what is this? And then the crowd's chanting because they get it. And then he, after like the third 4 more years chant, he starts to smile. Okay, I get where we're at. All right, so one more time since I screwed that up at the beginning.
Increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Still confused. Still confused. Still confused. Now he's got it. He even sneaks in like an O when he figures it out. If you hear, like, as they're chanting 4 more years, he does the 4 more years pause, and then he goes, oh, like he understands. Oh.
Why does he sound miserable saying 4 more? I know he was surprising himself, but he sounds miserable.
I honestly don't think he understood why it was written on the screen. I think he thought I was making a point about, you know, I was making
and then
a,
it was
a,
four
a,
more
you know,
years.
Like what is the words 4 more years have to do with the point I was just making?
Maybe he was back running against Trump, and he was going to say 4 more years of this.
Yeah.
He can't stand it, and something, you know, he gets lost. He gets
he,
lost.
He very
lost
much
time.
Gets lost.
He
yes.
gets lost in his speeches, and you know the thing is, typically one of the reasons why politicians are often lauded as some measure of decent orators is because they practice their speeches. You know, they get to read through the whole thing beforehand. So then when it's on the prompter, they're not surprised at the inflections and things that they're supposed to say. It's like when we get copy for commercials, you know, you don't say, yeah. And Wonderworld is great.
Yeah. not a question.
Yeah. He's like, no, you've read this before. Oftentimes you wrote it. So,
yeah.
So,
yeah, and you don't read every single thing on the page. When you're giving a telephone number, you don't read 555-8 or parenthesis 314 parenthesis.
Who were the paid actors in this whole sketch to be excited about 4 more years of Joe Biden?
Yeah.
That's the biggest
point. It was some campaign event. But then, so here's number two. So we get
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Before you skip over, because Katie made a really good point there. I think the reason that people knew to chant right away 4 more years was because of the plants in the crowd.
Yes, no doubt. No
doubt. Totally. Absolutely.
They had the script in hand, and they knew when he says those words, you immediately go into the chant because he's going to pause. We don't want to leave him hanging, except he actually said pause.
There were probably people on the ends of the stage.
Just,
you know, like the applause sign, you know, like the applause sign people.
Oh, the applause sign people.
Yeah, like going,
say Broadway.
Say 4 more years. This is when we go, guys. This is when we go.
Say Broadway.
So this is another one. This is the same gaffe he made in another speech recently that we called him out on. This is just literally 30 seconds after that happened. This happened.
Are you ready to choose unity over division, dignity over hate, truth over lies? Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? That's the second time he's done that exact line. Freedom over democracy. And this time he catches it. He catches himself.
I'm still trying to figure out what the line is.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right. It's truth over facts. He goes down this big line at the end. It's truth over facts, whatever, whatever. And then freedom over democracy. And then he stops and he goes, freedom for democracy. Well, neither one of those is fitting in whatever you're trying to say there. But freedom over democracy has been said enough times now that it's almost a campaign slogan for him.
We need to start the hashtag, freedom over democracy.
Those are two big points from the speech, but the entire thing is a mess. I mean, from even the beginning of what you played, that was an accident.
Yeah, that's right after the freedom over democracy part.
I think about Trump. And I told Tony this yesterday off the mic. But Trump, I'm really getting to start to like Donald Trump, like a lot. And it's not because of the right. And it's really, it's not even really because of Donald Trump. It's because of the stupidity of the left and because of this jumbling, bumbling president that we have that can't even get through one speech saying a single thing correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he really, really looks good in comparison, doesn't he? Because the thing is, if you were going to say put him versus, let's say, an Obama, right? As much crap as we give Obama for his ahs and ums and things like that when he's speaking off the cuff, when he's got a practice speech and he's coming off teleprompter, he's a pretty compelling deliverer of speeches, right? Mm-hmm. So comparing, the way Donald Trump speaks, where he'll come off prompter, he'll do his little spiel, and then he'll go back on prompter, and then, he's better than Trump in that regard. But when you compare Trump's delivery to Biden's delivery of anything, be it answering questions or coming off a prompter, it's no comparison. It's no question.
And I think that is why he seems to be reviving the run from the basement strategy. He's staying away from the media as much as possible because he's exposed every time he does speak. And yet you juxtapose that to what we're seeing from Donald Trump or anybody else. I mean, it would be this case if he was running against any competent person. He looks terrible in comparison.
And Trump just looks so, even outside of the courthouse that he's in and day out, Trump comes out from the courthouse, speaks to the press, makes his statement, talks for however long he feels like talking. Mm-hmm. And of course, Trump does his Trumpisms. There is no denying that. But he's coherent. He's competent. Yeah. He's making sense. And I look at the man and I'm like, you know what? I would love to have a competent person running this country right now.
Yeah,
I would love to have that.
So it's actually this point, Gabe, is actually in the news a little bit. I just mentioned why he's reviving his run from the basement strategy because he sat down with this interview this morning with Howard Stern. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did not.
Joe Biden went on Howard Stern this morning.
Really?
And the news that is coming out of that interview is that he said in that interview that he'd be happy to debate Donald Trump, which is a different statement than he had been. He'd been sort of vague and avoiding that. He said something like, I'll debate him, but when he cleans up his behavior or something like that, but it depends on his behavior or something like that, was what he had been saying. But this morning he said to Howard Stern that he'd be happy to debate Donald Trump, which immediately Trump's team were tweeting out like, let's go, let's set it up. When and where? You name it. They're all over him.
Man.
But what I find more interesting about that, the fact that he's on with Howard Stern this morning, is that it comes a day after, just yesterday, the New York Times had posted a statement bashing Joe Biden for his avoidance of the real media and how he hasn't done nearly as many press conferences and he hasn't sat down for nearly as many interviews as they said virtually every president before him. And and when he does sit down for an interview, it's with somebody like Howard Stern, not a news person, not somebody from a reputable news outlet. It's somebody like Howard Stern or Seth Meyers. He's always sitting down with a friend, somebody who is
some blogger.
Yeah, who's a talk show host and or somebody who is a supporter, which Howard Stern very much is. The Times stated yesterday, again, this he did this interview this morning, and the Times just published this yesterday. It's like he played right in their hands. They said, quote, "For anyone who understands the role of the free press in a democracy, it should be troubling that President Biden has so actively and effectively avoided questions from independent journalists during his term. The president occupies the most important office in our nation, and the press plays a vital role in providing insights into his thinking and worldview, allowing the public to assess his record and hold him to account. Mr. Biden has granted far fewer press conferences and sit-down interviews with independent journalists than virtually all of his predecessors." And he proved that today when he sat down. That's the unquote. Now I'm talking. He proved that today when he sat down with Howard Stern and did another interview, but not with a credible news outlet. And when he does do a press conference, it's predetermined.
Yeah.
He's calling on predetermined reporters from predetermined news outlets who are going to ask a predetermined question. So even when he does do a press conference, which is less than everybody else, it's all so scripted. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's bad, Gabe. Especially when the press wanted to accuse Donald Trump of avoiding the press and dodging the free press when he shut down he paused the daily briefings for a while when he was president. This is so much worse. This president is so clearly afraid, or his team is afraid, to let him speak that they are hiding him every chance they get. And I think it's something that needs to be talked about. What are your final thoughts on this issue, Gabe?
You know that meme with the one, I think it's James Franco, and he's got a noose around his neck, and he's looking over at a guy who looks really, really scared. He's got a noose around his neck. That's basically Fox News looking at CNN going like, first time?
Right, right. Oh, you're exactly yes, right. Yes. And the question is going to be, are we going to allow him to be this way throughout this entire election year? Or are the American people, our voters, and the media, quite frankly, going to force him to answer questions, to do interviews, and to make his opinions heard on and answer live questions on all of these issues? I hope they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do. Mm-hmm. And he... Go ahead, Gabe.
I was going to say, once we get past the Democratic convention where his candidacy is solidified, because I still think there's time for them to sneak in a different candidate. Once we get past the convention, though, the candidate slate is set. And if Joe Biden's still on a ticket, the basement campaign is on. And that's all we're going to get. We'll see if the voters want to punish him.
That is Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning. He is sticking around. Ken Williams from the Vic Borselli Show is going to join us. I have one more story out today. That's another bad look for Joe Biden. I'll explain that. And also, interesting story about Planet Fitness this week. They have hired, they've doubled down after their controversy with the trans controversy. Unlike Bud Light and Target, who tried to rehabilitate their image, Planet Fitness this week doubled down on their stance on the issue, and I'll explain that as well. It's all next here on Columbo and Katie.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 119.94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Tody. That's Katie. We're both here in studio, and we are now joined by our buddy Ken Williams from the Vic Porcelli Show. How are you?
Why, hello, you lovely people.
Hi. Yes, hello. And of course, Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning, still on the line as well. Love Fridays. Yes, I love Fridays. I love the I love our chance to all discuss and kind of recap the week. So, Ken, we were just talking. I'm sure you heard the most recent Joe Biden gaffe. He's reading the teleprompter again.
Which one?
Reading the word pause.
Oh, yeah. I've got actually something
four more
additional.
Years, pause.
I've got something additional to say about that particular clip.
Oh,
because
please.
If you guys saw the video on it.
I have it right here.
Okay, I have this conspiracy theory that it's not only Joe Biden that is getting things staged for him, but it is the crowd as well. Okay?
Katie just called that out. Katie just said that.
On the video.
Go ahead.
Okay, so he does this thing and he's getting caught. He's saying, 4 more years, pause. And he is completely oblivious to what's going on. He's like going, what, pause? And then somebody in the audience is going, 4 more years.
Yes.
And he says, pause again.
She just called it out.
And that's what I was telling Vic today on his show. It's like, that is the crowd being staged as well.
I still have it pulled up. I still have it pulled up.
That's right, man.
I still have this pulled up. You can actually hear, you don't have to see it to have that happen or notice that that happens, because when he's doing the 4 more years, as you can tell in the sound, he doesn't know why he's reading the words four more years.
Right.
He's just wrapped up his point, and he takes a long pause
and says it
and squints at the teleprompter because he doesn't understand why it says four. He's trying to put it together in his brain
exactly
why the words 4 more years are on his speech. And that's also why he reads the word pause. And you'll hear, again, you'll hear the 4 more years pause. But listen to how quickly, to Ken and Katie's point, how quickly the chant starts. They were waiting for that
cue.
For that cue. Here it is again.
And increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. Pause. 4 more years.
Every bit of that was staged, man.
Yeah, and he had no idea. It took 3-4 more years before he understood what was happening.
And did you see his face light up?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, no, it's so
this
funny.
Is good.
It's so funny that you guys made the same point about the same piece of sound. I mean, you're right. I think it's either there's people on the side of the stage that are, you know, directing. You know, like in a talk show with the people that hold up applause signs, like, now is when you go. Like, they're getting, it's scripted. It's a planned
It's still
situation.
Staged.
That's, it very much
that's
is.
Staged, yeah.
It very
yeah.
much is. Another, we're just all over the president today for good reason. Joe Biden has made a noticeable change to his routine of walking to and from Marine One. You see this?
No.
So we all know about the steps going up to Air Force One.
Yeah.
He gets on he uses the children's entrance to the plane now.
That's funny.
and I
Why
think
is
he's
that true.
It's true. So he made that change a few months ago, and I think he's also wearing smart shoes now. Also to go along with that. So that's the airplane. Now we're talking about the helicopter. And Biden, the report says, Biden could previously be seen traveling across the south lawn of the White House to his helicopter solo. But the president has recently been flanked by several aides. This all according to a new report from Axios. The new pattern is allegedly meant to create a visual effect that draws less attention to Biden's shuffling, sometimes awkward and stiff gait. Several Biden advisors told the outlet that videos of the 81-year-old president walking along the grass could highlight his age to reporters and voters. So they said the new images and videos of the president are more favorable and aides will continue to join him. The advisors also revealed that this idea came from Joe Biden himself, who pushed for the new approach after it was implemented in mid-April. Aides such as close advisor Mike Donilon and Deputy Chiefs of Staff Bruce Reed are now often positioned between Biden and the camera crews as he walks from the White House to the helicopter, so people don't see his old man shuffle.
Wow.
He got tired of being made fun of.
Yeah.
And they're talking about me bad online.
Yeah.
They're talking bad about
me. You know how when you see a picture, you know when you walk in front, maybe I'm the only one like this. You know sometimes when you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God. How old did I get?
You see
a picture of yourself and you're like, you see a picture of yourself and you're like, oh.
No, really?
It sounds to me like Joe Biden saw a clip of himself walking to the helicopter and went, oh my God, I look 1,000. We can't let... You guys gotta block the camera for me when we do this.
Well, Gabe, if you notice, and Katie, if you guys notice, when Joe goes up those baby stairs even, he has somebody behind him now. And when he's coming down,
that's right.
He has someone in front of him, and that's for a purpose. That's not by accident.
No, none of it.
You need somebody to catch you if you slip.
And if, I mean, just think about that. If this president is worried that he looks old while he's walking to and from the helicopter, how far away are we from him working on fixing the border real problem in this country if he can't even walk to the helicopter without it being
an ordeal?
Production.
I'm thinking it's more of Jelly Bean. I think Jelly Bean saw maybe a vid, and even though she likes to believe the best in her husband,
I stand by your man.
I think she might have seen a clip of him and was like,
"It sounds like a Jill. It sounds like a Jill or a staff
thing." Let's
give
this guy a pair of Skechers.
I was surprised when I read that part. Yeah, I agree with you. I was surprised when I read that part, but that's what the Axios report says. The Axios report says it was a Biden idea, a Joe Biden himself idea to do this.
What are those, the non-stick shoes, you know, that the people at the fast food have to wear? That's what he has.
Yeah.
Skechers non-stick shoe.
That's right.
I don't know. I think I'm more jaded than anybody in the world, maybe, but I don't think Joe Biden makes a decision from January 2021. I don't think he has made one decision.
I
think Jill has, and I think the Obama administration behind the scenes has. That's just my opinion. But you look at the man, and you think to yourself, would I walk to that guy and ask him about anything? There's no possible way that he is controlling any of this stuff.
I'd ask him what the Civil War was like.
I think the Obamas are running the party, and I think Jill is running the White House.
Yeah,
that's what I that's what I believe.
Yep. Can't dispute it.
I want to switch gears and talk about this Planet Fitness story. This was something that Katie and I were very interested in when it broke last week, and this week it got seemingly worse. Planet Fitness has hired a new DEI-focused CEO amid the controversy over their transgender locker room policy. Planet Fitness, which plummeted $400 million in value in March after the gym ignored boycotted the franchise over their transgender policy, announced this week it is hiring a new CEO who has a history of pushing diversity, equality, and inclusion policies. Kathleen Keating headed First Key Homes for the past 4 years, where she signed on to the CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion Pledge, which promises to continually strive to diversify our workforce through a DEI lens and find talent in multiple locations and backgrounds. So it goes on and on, this story, highlighting this new CEO's background of woke policies, DEI policies. And so that shows you that the direction of Planet Fitness is not to try to repair that image. You know, Bud Light, after the Dylan Mulvaney thing, was putting out commercials with farmers and veterans.
Right. Men. Yeah. Actual men.
Trying to act like nothing happened here. Planet Fitness is taking the exact opposite approach. What do you think of that, Gabe?
Well, it's par for the course at this point. I'm just the guy who's gonna pull up a folding chair and a bucket of popcorn and just watch it burn, because this is at this point it's hilarious.
Yeah,
we've moved on from it being sort of a tragic aspect of corporate America right now, that they're minus all the stuff, and now we've moved into the farcical era. So I'm bring it on. I can use a good laugh.
You know what scares me, Ken, is that it's. They've put the value of the business has already plummeted $400 million since that happened. And that, usually that's when even the woke suits in the corner office change course. When you're losing $400 million and you're still putting these identity politics ahead of your employees and running a successful business. That's a next level for me.
Well, I believe that we are seeing something that has never happened in the history of capitalism in the United States. Corporations are actually choosing DEI over profit.
Yes, exactly.
And that is something that, I mean, I never thought I would even say that they would choose over anything, even human beings. They would, you know, if you think in the past, there are corporations that were accused of like, doing nefarious things that people got hurt from, but they did it for profit. This is actually choosing DEI over profit, and Target flirts with this.
Mm-hmm.
Target might find themselves in a lot of trouble if they do it again this spring. But this company and a few other ones are just saying, no, you know, we're going to lose money on it and everything, but, you know, it's good. We're good because we're equitable.
Yeah.
So this is where Planet Fitness does scare me more than Bud Light and more than Target, though, not because mm-hmm. of its successfulness and not because of its need in the market, but because there's locker rooms.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because there
yep.
are you can get a Planet Fitness. I believe you can get a Planet Fitness membership at 18, maybe even 17. And when that happens and a young 18-year-old walks into the locker room to change or to feel comfortable with her peers that are women, to shower, whatever the case may be, this is an instance where something very harmful could happen. Bud Light, that's just a beer. Target is just a place for people to buy clothes. Now we're talking about a facility that has people actively changing, being naked in locker rooms that are young people, that if they're caught in a bad situation, in the wrong situation, somebody could get really, really hurt.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Go ahead, Dave.
They're setting themselves up as a victim factory. That's really what they're doing.
Sad.
And they're happy to do so. And they're doubling and tripling down on you. Katie, you brought up a really, really good point. There are real women who will be victimized by Planet Fitness.
Sad.
Well, it's actually happening because the second time, this was not the first issue with that Planet Fitness had. The second one, the guy actually got arrested because he was exposing an erect penis.
Yes, he was.
To a child.
Yes.
There was a child,
oh my gosh,
a mother's child was in that place and saw it. And I'm telling you right now, if I was a parent and that happened,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I mean, this is out of hand. This is out of hand.
You wouldn't, because it's not in the boys' room.
Make a little money cashing in the insurance policy on the building that just... I'm sorry.
Right?
Never mind. Let me pull back.
It's usually when it gets to the point of the business is going out of business and you're losing hundreds of millions of dollars that money talks, and the adults in the room, even if they are crazy when it comes to their personal identity politics, they usually step in. It's crazy to me to see that they are doubling down as they are putting the company at risk at this point. Another story that came out this week that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet, that originally you would think like, okay, once it gets to the adults, things will change. Also didn't happen this week when a federal judge rejected Donald Trump's request for a new trial in the E. Jean Carroll suit, doubling down that the former president does have to pay E. Jean Carroll $83.3 million. And Ken, I'm sure you remembered this. I didn't until I was rereading this story. I had forgotten that she only even asked for 12.
Right.
She asked for 12 million.
I thought she originally got five, though.
And she's got 83.3.
Because Trump opened his mouth, which I get.
Right. Yeah. The original was for, it was for more than that. I can't remember what the numbers were. It was like 60 more million because he opened his mouth. It was going to be like 30 million, and then they tacked on the 60 million for defamation. But she was only asking for 12 from the very beginning. And these are the kind of things that you think, well, once the appeals court or once it advances, you know, this will be corrected, not corrected.
So I guess, does anyone know that, can he appeal it again to another court? Is there any opportunity there?
No.
The story that I read, the way that the story is written here is it sounds pretty finalized. The federal judge in New York rejected former President Trump's appeal of the $83.3 million fine the jury awarded E. Jean Carroll after the denied allegations. Right. Judge also denied his request for a new trial. Trump and his attorneys filed a motion requesting a new trial in the case, arguing that Trump was limited. His testimony was limited during the previous trial. But all of that, the appeal and the request for a new trial was all rejected. And Donald Trump must pay E. Jean Carroll $83.3 million.
Well, let me just say that I believe President Trump had a right to say what he said. I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just saying that the judge told him to be quiet and he didn't. That's one point.
Yeah.
But the other one is...
Is that a $60 million...
No, for him it might be worth it. It would not be for me, but that's his choice. But E. Jean Carroll, she's the kook that sat next to or across from Anderson Cooper saying, you know, rape is sexy.
Yeah,
right.
And then looking at him, and he actually hit that.
He got real uncomfortable.
Yeah, didn't he? Gabe, he goes, oh, okay, we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And you stay. Yeah. And then she's staring at him while he's talking, and she goes, you know, you're very interesting.
Yeah. When after she won, Katie and I were playing the sound about when she was on with Rachel Maddow, and she was saying, what do you want, Rachel? Where do you want a house in the Hamptons? I'll buy you a house in the Hamptons. What do you want? So it was like Scott or something. Scott wants a motorcycle. I'm buying Scott a motorcycle. What do you want? Like, she's just... It is so insulting to real victims of sexual assault.
There's the point right there.
That when you see this woman just tap dancing, she couldn't even believe it. She couldn't even believe that she won and that she got even more money than she was even asking for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kitty, like, to me, it's an insult to women and... especially victims, female victims of sex crimes, when I see that. But what do you think?
It is. It absolutely is. It's making a mockery of people that have to live with being a sexual assault victim. It's making a mockery of people that have been raped. I mean, look at the women that just won their case against Larry Nassar. Mm. All of the gymnasts, Simone Biles and the others that won their case. Do you see them going on talk shows saying, okay, baby girl, what do you want? I just got all this money. Mm-hmm. What do you want? What do you,
a great
you,
point.
You don't see any of those gymnasts going on. They look solemn. They look somber because the fact of the matter is there is no amount of money that can take away the experience of being sexually assaulted or raped. And that is what victims act like. That is truly how women feel when something like that happens, even if you win. Even if you win.
Mm-hmm. Gabe, you have any thoughts?
Nothing to add to what Katie was saying, except that I did see a couple of people on social media who were claiming to be real victims, and they were adamant that that is not how anyone that they know or themselves would behave in that situation.
So I think
they really doubt that whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. I think her behavior is disgusting.
It's a money grab.
Yeah, and...
Well, she's a kooky lady to begin with. Like, if you've ever seen any, there's like a documentary on her and where she lives out in the woods, where she's painted trees and stuff. She's a wild person.
Yeah.
And I think they just found a crazy lady to go out and try to destroy Donald Trump. And it's currently working.
The scary thing is because even I remember as we reported this story throughout, it was once it gets appealed, this nonsense is going to get stopped. I think it's scary that the court system is going along.
It's lawfare.
With this insanity at the level that it has been recently. I think that is the biggest, most important takeaway that should be concerning for everyone.
And that's the goal, isn't it? To destroy Donald Trump and his companies, take his money away, take all of his treasure away so he can't fight this. And they're actually taking a lot of money from that man.
Oh, yeah.
And, sure and in the short term, they're succeeding.
Yeah, and they're keeping him off the campaign
trail. But I'll tell you, we got a lot of story to tell.
Yeah. They're taking his money and keeping him off the campaign trail.
Yeah.
But they're also emboldening a lot of people behind them, behind him, because people don't like when human beings see unfairness, when they see somebody being bullied or treated unfairly, no matter who that person is, that is something that is like we're just hardwired to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a lot to embolden support behind him with these actions too. All right, we need to get that all important weekend forecast. It's been a gross day out there today, but will it last over the weekend? We will find out from Steve Templeton in just a moment. Ken Williams from the Vic Porcelli Show, thank you for being here. You can hear Ken and Vic every weekday 9 a.m. Gabe Pfeiffer, of course, every weekday 5:30 a.m. Mike Ferguson in the morning here on News Talk STL, and of course on YouTube, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Gabe and Ken, thank you guys so much as always for your time.
Yeah, thanks you guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks guys. God bless.
Back at you. And we will get that all important weekend forecast from Channel 4 Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9941 News Talk STL. We're going to be joined by our friend James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson and the current city administrator of Dardine Prairie, just after 3 o'clock. But right now, it is time to get that all-important weekend forecast from Channel 4 Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton. Steve, thanks as always for your time. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. A lot going on. Kind of busy for me today.
Yeah, it's a crappy day today, but the big question is how long does it last?
Yeah, and we still have some storms coming in this evening. So here's one thing that's kept me a little busy. Behind this batch of rain that's hit this afternoon, there's been some non-thunderstorm gusts that caused a little damage around Troy, Missouri. Very isolated, very sporadic, but we got some reports of power outages, a couple trees down. I think these are going to be very isolated. Not everyone's going to experience them, but I just mentioned that because behind the rain, some pressure differences as the rain exits are mixing some stronger winds aloft down to the ground. Okay, and then there's some thunderstorms building in southwest Missouri that are going to try to make a run at St. Louis, and I do expect some scattered storms this evening, especially between about 5 and 9 p.m., but we don't have much storm fuel, and that's why the severe threat's very low. So I don't want to completely say we won't see a severe storm, but I think it's very low because of all this rain and cloud cover that's eaten up a lot of the storm fuel. The storm fuel is going to try to surge with the warm front, which is moving in, but I just don't see a lot of it, and thus a low storm threat, severe threat, that is, through this evening. Overnight's going to be dry, though, and Saturday's largely dry, 66 in the morning, 81 in the afternoon. It's going to be a windy, humid day. There's a 20% chance for an isolated shower, thunderstorm Saturday. But otherwise, Sunday's the day that we're focused on for another threat for severe weather, a little better threat than what we had today, too. It would be in the evening to nighttime. 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. would be the strongest storms. 83 for the high otherwise, and we'll have to be on guard for some strong winds in the afternoon and then strong storms in the evening and nighttime for Sunday. Actually have pretty active weather into next week, too. So kind of busy, off and on rain and storms for probably the next 5 days or so.
It was warm for a while. We were talking about these temperatures in the 80s. We had those, and then storms came in, and we went back down to the 60s. Now storms are coming in, and we're going back up to the 80s. Are we going to stay in these warmer temperatures for a while as well as we deal with this rain?
Yeah, actually, it's a warm front that's just to our south right now. So when that comes through later tonight, you'll know it as soon as you wake up tomorrow morning, notice more humidity. And, of course, 81 Saturday, 83 Sunday. So we'll stay in the 70s to 80s, probably all the way through maybe Thursday of next week. And that's because what I like to call a clearing cold front, a cold front that finally sweeps away some of the warmth and humidity and cools you down, it doesn't hit until Thursday night into Friday. And so while you're sitting in this, what we call the warm sector, this warm, humid atmosphere, little disturbances can kick up some strong storms at times. So that's why I say off and on storms, and we could be busy for the next 5 days or so.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Sounds like you might get a little bit of good times out there this weekend, but it's going to be hit or miss. So keep an eye on the skies,
yeah,
and of course, keep an eye.
Yeah, it's largely dry. That'll
be
good.
Yeah, that's good. And, of course, the Channel 4 KMOV weather team 24/7 has you updated on their app and on their website. So make sure you're keeping an eye on that as well. Steve, really appreciate your time as always. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy the warmer weekend, Tony. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks, you. Steve.
That is Channel 4 Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton. All right, we're going to shift gears and talk some local issues with the former mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, current city administrator out there in Dardenne Prairie. James Knowles joins us next on Columbo and Katie.